To receive the infinite wisdom that is hidden and compressed in your written word. So we ask for your awesome power and glory to go with us as we enter the word. Come and anoint me afresh, that indeed I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. And then put the same unction and anointing, Father, upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me. Those who are here, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further ask that the power of the Spirit of God be released in great measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes. Yes, that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy, so I'll be faithful in the delivery of the word. I will do it indeed with precision. Redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring in out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all's in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned, agreed and said. I have a very important message this afternoon, and have entitled it, His Commandments Are Not Grievous. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bible to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and we will read from verse 3. For this, I didn't hear you. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Everybody say, His commandments are not grievous. I didn't hear you. Turn to your neighbor. Do you think His commandments are grievous? Well, you're wrong. His commandments are not grievous, and God is not a liar. If you look at another translation in verse, so the same verse, you look at it in the New International Version, I like it there. He says, in fact, this is the love of God, to keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Hallelujah. Another translation says, His commandments are not difficult. I believe that's God's word. There's this translation called God's Word. Yes. It says, obeying His commandments isn't difficult. Jesus, the Lord Jesus, Himself expresses this same thought in Matthew chapter 11 in verse 30, when He says, His yoke is easy and His burden is what? Light. His yoke is what? Easy, and His burden is light. However, we find in practice that men seem to find doing God's word hard or grievous or difficult. Now, the Bible says it isn't. So it means that there must be a way of doing it so that when you do it that way, you will find it that it is not grievous. You will find that it is easy. You will find that the burden is light. Now, let's zero in to find out exactly what the commandments are. What exactly are his commandments? He told us here in verse 3, he says, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." Now, what are those commandments? Look at 1 John chapter 3. Back to the King James. 1 John chapter 3, the same 1 John. And I'm going to look at verses 22 and 23. This is a very instructive portion of scripture, because the Apostle John, under the Holy Spirit, doesn't want us to have any doubt. He doesn't want any argument about what the commandments of God are. So he zeroes in. He's very, very direct and very specific. And he says here in verse 22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." And so that you won't be confused, he says, "And this," what is what we're about to say now, "and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment." Now, he gives us a twofold commandment here. He said, this is it. That we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, number one. Or you can say A. Then B, to love one another as he gave us commandment. In other words, there is a particular way to love one another. We can't just love one another the way we like. We have to love one another the way he gave us commandment. And he doesn't leave us in darkness. In John chapter 13, John chapter 13, and in verse 34, I love this scripture. The Lord himself is speaking here. This was on the at the Last Supper, this just before he was arrested later that evening, or you know, early in the morning, you know, and he was giving them, if you like, final instructions. And so he said, "A new commandment." I didn't hear you. A what? A what? He calls it new. They've had commandments. They've had the commandments of God before. They had Moses. They had the laws, you know, of the Old Testament. But he now comes to tell them, says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Then in verse 35 says, "By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have loved one another." But I want to zero in on this. He now tells us, says, "You're going to love one another as I have loved you." There was an old commandment. The old commandment was, "Love your neighbor as yourself." That was the old one. But the new one is, "Love one another as I have loved you," is higher than the old one. That's why he called it a new commandment. And that was what John had in his heart when he was writing. And he said, "This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another." And then he qualifies it, "as he gave us commandment." In other words, let us love one another as he loved us. And that's the reason why the commandment is twofold. He first of all says, "Believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ." Why? He's not writing to people who don't believe in Jesus. He's writing to people who are already born again. People who believe in Jesus, who've been born again, who believe Jesus is Lord and Savior. He's talking about believing in the name, to use the name of Jesus to receive eternal life. And you see this in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We've actually, I think I even mentioned it this morning during the Bible study. in verse 31. I just said it glancingly then, but let's read it now. It says, "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life." How? Through his name. That's where we got, in Jesus' name we have life from. It's not Luby's doctrine. It's not a doctrine. It's a commandment. He said we should believe on the name of Son Jesus Christ and then love one another as he gave us commandments. In other words, you cannot love one another as he gave us commandments without receiving eternal life. It is only by divine life you can love like God. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. It takes it from the human level to the divine level. The old commandment was love your neighbor as you love yourself. That is human. Now he now says, a new commandment I've given you, that you love one another as I have loved you. But in order to do that, he prefaces it with believing on the name of his Son Jesus Christ. Because that's what gives you access to divine life that will now enable you to love as he loved. And this, in summary, is the commandment. This is what he had at the back of his mind when he says his commandments aren't grievous. His commandments are not difficult. But you have to know what the commandment is. And the wonderful thing about this is that once you keep this commandment, you keep all the other commandments. Paul, writing about this in his epistles, said love is the fulfilling of the law. All the commandment is briefly summarized in one word. He says it in Galatians, he says it in Romans, you know, and all over the New Testament. He says, if you walk in love, automatically you keep the commandment. So instead of trying to keep 10 commandments, just keep one. Just keep one. You keep that one, you automatically keep all the others. I think it's in Romans, he says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So if you love as God loves, you will behave like God behaves. And love, God is not covetous. God will not commit adultery. God will not steal. God will not lie. All the moral law is simply encapsulated in the law of love. Now, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to go and share this with my people, because many times we lose sight. Some of these things we know already. And then there's some people who don't even know these things. But, you know, for those who know and those who, you know, who haven't known it, we lose sight of the fact of what he had at the back of his mind when he said, the commandments are not difficult. It's not grievous. And there's a reason why. And that's what I want to share with us this afternoon, and by the help of the Holy Spirit, break it down. Why is the commandment not grievous? Why is it that this commandment of life and love, why is it that it is easy? Why is it that it is not burdensome? How is it not burdensome? How is it easy? I'll tell you in a minute. This is what he says. He says in verse 3, he said, where we read before, let's go back to 1 John chapter 5. He said, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. We've seen what commandments are. Believe on the name of the Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandments. And his commandments, this commandment to believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, this commandment to love one another as he loves us. He says, not grievous. It's not difficult. Then he tells you the reason in verse 4. He says, for whatsoever, I didn't hear you, is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In other words, if you keep the commandment by faith, you will find it easy. If you keep it by the flesh, you're going to find it difficult. The what makes it easy is keeping the commandment by faith. And then I'm going to take it a step further. When the Lord was running, saying, these are things I knew before, but it's so fresh to me now. And he said, I need to come and share it so that the people, it was going to, by the time we finish, you're going to be liberated. Hallelujah. You're going to be encouraged greatly. He said, the reason why it is easy is because it is by faith. But you know, if we say faith, is that's a little bit abstract. It's not abstract, but you know, I've written it down the way he told me. He said, the commandment is kept by grace and mercy through faith. That's the reason why it's easy. When you do it by grace and mercy through faith. You see, faith gives you access to the grace and the mercy of God. And you see this in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. You know, we're talking about general salvation, but the same principle holds. He says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Look at Ephesians 2 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. So faith gives you access to grace. Grace is God's favor that gives you his life. So the thing that makes the commandment easy is when you do it by faith or by grace and mercy through faith. And as I was preparing, he took me to a scripture that I know, but I have not connected it in this regard. And when I saw it, I said, this will really help people. Look at Romans chapter 4 in verse 16. We're going to look at two scriptures in this context. You know, but look at Romans chapter 4. He said, therefore, everybody open your mouth. It is of faith that it might be by grace. If it was not of faith, it won't be by grace. Hello, somebody. But there is a reason. He said, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is sure you can keep the commandment of God. It is sure. It is sure. It is sure. You can keep the commandment of God and it will not be grievous because it's going to be by grace through faith. And that's why God made it like that. He said, therefore, it is of faith so that it might be by grace, so that the promise can be sure to all the seed. So if somebody is stronger than you in a particular area, they won't have an advantage over you. It's sure to all the seed. If you're one of the seed, give me a wave. Hallelujah. Turn to the neighbor and say, it is sure to me that I can keep God's commandment by faith, and therefore I will not find it grievous. It won't be difficult. It won't be burdensome. It's sure to me. And then when I was preparing, he gave me another scripture. You know, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Word. You know, he said, for this cause, Jesus was made the surety of the better testament. He makes it sure. His high priestly ministry that operates through your faith releases grace and mercy and makes it sure you will keep it. Amen. That's why he is the surety, the guarantor of the New Testament. You see, oftentimes, that's why he's having me to minister this. You know, we lose sight of these things. And then we're struggling, trying to do something by ourselves. You know, and then we sometimes, you know, but by the time I finish this, I'll show you how not to fall into that rut. You know, we lose sight of the fact that Jesus is there. God is there. The Holy Spirit is there helping me to keep the commandment. You see, God didn't just give me a command and say, go and do it. He gave me a commandment and then he said, I'm going to be there with you to make sure you do it. The surety. Hallelujah. He said that it is of faith, that it might be by grace, that the promise will be sure to all the seed, the big seed, the small seed, the little seed, to all. Everybody can keep God's commandment. Everybody can do God's word. Because it's not by your power. It's not by your ability you're going to do it. It's going to be by grace and mercy through faith. Then he took me to another scripture, the second one in this context, you know, which is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul is talking. Verse 10, 1 Corinthians. Paul had gone through a lot. Paul is somebody who'd been through a lot. He'd been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. God called him to the ministry. In fact, when Jesus appeared to him, he said, I'm going to show him what great things he's going to suffer for my name's sake. So he'd gone through a lot, you know. And he's writing this letter to the Corinthians, talking to them about the resurrection, how they should believe that the resurrection is true. Jesus was raised from the dead. Because there were some people there who were saying, oh, there's no resurrection from the dead. He said, you don't even understand what you're doing. You know, if there's no resurrection from the dead, there's no Christianity. But I don't want to get off on that. What he says is, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. There's a great truth here. God will help you understand it. God will help you imbibe it. God will help you become established in it. He said, but by... He was talking about the other apostles and how the people believed, you know, that you know, the Jesus came, Jesus died, then the apostles preached to them, you know, and then he talked about himself being the last, in a sense, of all the apostles. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. He said, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Let me just stop here. Do you know that if this thing did not enter the canon, people will say, who does this man think he is? Hello? Yes. He was talking about all the other apostles. We were talking about Peter, James, John, and all of them. He said, I labored more than all of them. I was sharing recently that what we do without Paul. Take Paul's letters away from the New Testament, the whole thing crumbles. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. You know, and Paul recognized that. He recognized that, but he also understood something that is fundamental. You see, Paul was not special. For God is no respecter of persons. There was nothing Paul did that the others couldn't have done. If people understood better what grace is. And that's what he said here. He quickly qualified it so that you won't think he's boasting. He said, I labored more upon it than yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Yes, it was me. But it wasn't just me alone. It was me, but with the grace of God operating, pouring itself into and through me. That's what made me excel the way I excelled. But the Bible says that it is of faith that it might be by grace, that this same truth may be sure to all the seed. So just like Paul labored more abundantly, so can you. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. That it might be by grace. Therefore it was of faith, so that the promise could be sure. So I too, you too can labor more abundantly. So you see, when it comes to labor in the word, travail, prayer, all these things that look hard, when you do it connected to the grace of God, what looks hard will now become easy. He says his commandments are not grievous. But it has to be done by grace and mercy through faith. This is the crux of the matter. And Paul, he got to know this. First of all, by revelation, and then secondly, by experience over time. See, something happened to him. You know, He said, he got this by revelation, that the messenger of Satan had been sent to buffet him. He said, for this thing, he went to God three times, that it might depart from him. Because, now, God didn't say the devil is going to overcome you. But God said, I'm not going to remove the devil. I'm going to give you, I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to give you sufficient grace to overcome him. You don't need to get him out of the way. I don't need to remove him completely. All I need to do is give you sufficient grace. With sufficient grace, you'll overcome him. Let's say another way, you steamroll him. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap offering. See, we're always telling God to remove the mountain. God will not remove the mountain. He has made you a sharp threshing instrument, having teeth, so you thresh the mountain. He's not going to remove the mountain, but he's going to give you grace to thresh the mountain. Amen. You can remember what Jesus said. He said, if you have faith, you shall say to the mountain, be removed and be cast, and it shall obey you. If you have grace, if you have, it's faith, but faith gives you access to grace. That grace will make you a new sharp threshing instrument. You will thresh that mountain and it will become like chaff. This thing is a sure banker. Because I like that scripture. The promise is sure to all the seed. God's no respecter of persons. It's sure to all the seed. So he made it by grace through faith. Any seed, any heir of Christ who will learn to operate by faith and access the grace and the mercy of God will find the commandment easy. He won't find it difficult. He will overcome it. Hallelujah. He will do the will of God. He'll be victorious. Now, the issue now is how. That's the fact. The issue, thank you, Jesus, now is how do we operate by faith? How do we allow the grace and the mercy of God to be ministered in and through us? I like that, because you see, when you're talking about grace and mercy, you know, they're really joined together. Grace operates from the outside. Mercy operates from the inside. But they're really joined together, because grace, first of all, comes from the outside to preserve, and mercy. And then grace now comes in from the inside to work in you to will and to do of God's good pleasure. And then enables you to do by the power of God, not by your own power, by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to do the will of God. You know, and when you understand that, you begin to learn, you know, how to yield to the grace and the mercy of God. So you're not struggling in the flesh. Many Christians try and do the word of God by human physical ability. And whenever you get into that rut, and it is a rot, you know, you start finding the commandments, it look as if they are burdensome. It will look as if they are grievous. It will look as if they are hard. It will look as if the yoke is heavy. It will look as if, you know, the burden is heavy. It will look as if the yoke is difficult. But it's not. You just have to learn what I call the spiritual technology. Now, how does this thing operate? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. And interestingly, God had given them this understanding and command right in the Old Testament. That's why we see great things, some great characters in the Old Testament. Even though they weren't born again, they were operating by grace through faith from the outside, not from the inside. But it was operating from the outside. And then you see them living lives that are so marvelous. You know, one person that immediately comes to my mind, three or four of them do, but one person that immediately is Joseph. I preached that message some years ago. Joseph had no Bible. He was operated by grace through faith. He didn't have any Bible. At that time, the Bible hadn't even been written. Moses wasn't even born. All he had was God's commandment through the oral tradition. The patriarchs, right from Adam in the Garden of Eden, taught their sons. Their sons taught the next generation, and so on and so forth. That's how you get from Adam right to Enoch. Enoch is another person we can talk about. Then it goes down to Noah. And then further down to Abraham. Then from Abraham to Isaac and Jacob, and then to Joseph. And then later on Moses and others. You begin to wonder, how did he do it? Joseph's, again, get back to scripture in a minute, but Joseph's example is instructive. One, he was in a heathen land. No temple, no priesthood, no sacrifices. He didn't have anything like that. His fathers used to, have altars. He didn't have an altar in Egypt. He was just him. And all he had was the word of God in his heart. Yet, this Joseph was able to keep the word of God and keep himself pure. Notice that that time in Egypt, and still even now to some degree, but way back then, before there were any laws of human rights and anything like that, he was a slave. Then he was living in a demon-infested atmosphere, because the Egyptians were idol worshippers. They worshipped the god of the sun, the god of all kinds. They had all kinds of gods and all kinds of things. So I can imagine the toxic spiritual atmosphere in which Joseph was operating, yet he prevailed. Why? I'm going to give the scripture to you again. There, that it would be by faith, that it might be by grace, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. In spite of all those odds, turn to your neighbor and say, it is not religion. His grace is truly sufficient. Give the Lord a clap offering. We say those things, we just say them out of religiously, and sometimes we really don't believe what we're saying in our hearts. We just say glibly. But you got to understand that it is true. Hallelujah. Another excellent example, of course, is Enoch. Enoch, for the first 65 years of his life, was just bumbling along. Then he had Methuselah. And the Bible says, and Enoch walked with God and pleased God. And in Hebrews chapter 11, in verses 5 and 6, speaking about, it was Enoch he was talking about, about Enoch, the fact that he walked with God. And the Bible says he did it by faith. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God, before he's translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. So how did Enoch please God? By faith. So we must learn the same secret Enoch learned, Joseph learned, Moses learned, David learned, the patriarchs learned, Paul learned, Jesus learned. Hello? I remember what Jesus learned. The Bible says he learned obedience. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 30 and look at verse 11. I'm going to read firstly from the King James, and then I will toggle between the King James and the New International Version as I am led by the Spirit. Let's start with the King James. It says, for this commandment, now let's keep at the back of our mind the commandment of the name and loving one another as he gave us commandment. This commandment which I commanded this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. That King James a little bit obscure. Put this New International Version. New International Version. Now, what I am commanding you to do today, Turn to your neighbor and say, God is talking to you and I. God is talking to us today. Not 5,000 years ago. He's talking to us today. Now, what Pastor Lubi say it like that. I'm keeping it contextual. You know, what Pastor Lubi is telling us today, what he's commanding us today, is not too difficult. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. Don't let the devil ever lie to you. It's not too difficult. It's not beyond your reach. And he's going to tell you the reason why in the next few verses. Let me go back to the King James. I like the King James because that's what I've memorized. Praise the Lord. Then I go to these other modern translations when I think it's necessary. Verse 12. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Now let's look at this in New International. Nor is it beyond the sea. So that you will have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? You see, when men want to do the word of God, they're always thinking of what they can do physically. Let me go to heaven. Let me go across the sea. Now just before I get in the next few verses, I want to bring something out here. You must understand the background from which Moses is writing, which is still relevant to us today, particularly in Africa and in most traditions. Go and ask any, you shouldn't, because you're a Christian and you should not delve into these things. But I'm just going to use it as a contrasting thing so you will have understanding what God had at the back of his mind. The people who are either in witchcraft or in the occult, who are looking for power, when they tell them the things they are going to do, you will be amazed. That's why God is saying, man is not like that. You don't have to go across a sea. You don't have to go to heaven. They will tell you, oh, you have to go to the marketplace in the middle of the night, naked, and carry something on your head. And what is inside is a crocodile skin. That you have to cross about 10 rivers to find a particular kind of crocodile, kill it, skin it, and then put it inside. Isn't this a silly devil? I'm telling you, they give you so many. That's why their own is grievous, but God's own is not grievous. Give the Lord a clap offering. God's own is not grievous. You want power? You want power with the devil? They will tell you, you have to go to this place. You have to go and bring 5 rabbits, and all of them must be white. And this one is true. Their commandments are so grievous. So in contrast, God is telling you, I'm not like them. I'm not like them. You don't have to go beyond the sea. You don't have to go up to heaven. You don't have to go and kill a crocodile or chicken or whatever to have power with me. My own is by grace through faith, that it might be sure to all the seed. Give the Lord a clap offering. I celebrate this God. Our God is a good God. Our God is a good God. You may be seated. And interestingly, the power he gives you far supersedes the power of these fake gods, who will only give you a small amount of power for a little bit amount of time, take it back and kill you. Isn't it worth doing this one? Instead of going to the market in the middle of the night and carrying some stupid calabash. And you know the thing that pains God is that he makes it so easy for his people.
and then they won't do it. And then the devil's people will go and do their own that is far more difficult and oppress us whose own is easy. Hence this message. You know why? We are just on the verge of the manifestation of the sons of God. I'm telling you how to get power. Real power. For in the day of his power, his people shall be willing. And they shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. You don't have to go across any silly sea. Or go across any forest. Or some silly, you know, that's what he had at the, because they were living among heathen. They were living among heathen. The Canaanites and all these people, and those people had magical powers. And there were certain stupid things you have to do in order to get those powers. So God said, my own is not like that. He said, this commandment I'm giving you is not burdensome. It's not grievous. My own is easy. If it's go to this place, go to this market, carry this, it's the devil. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? If it's go to this place, go and see this, buy this, put this on your head, it's the devil. Oh, God have mercy. There's something I was going to say, but God said, don't say it. You know, you'd be amazed even what so-called people of God do to get power. Foolish people. God's own people. Remember Saul? He went to the house of a witch to get power because God did not answer him anymore because of his stubbornness and rebellion. He did not answer him by dreams, by visions, by the prophets, nor by Urim or Thummim. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. That's why I'm teaching you what I'm teaching you now. Learn it! Get power from God alone! And you will never be tempted to go to the witch at Endor in these perilous times. Another text just came, and this is what it said. Because of the perilous times, when people don't seem to be able to get power from God, the pressure of the times forces them sometimes to go to the devil. It was the same Saul that removed the witches from Israel. Same Saul. But when he was under pressure. And don't tell yourself, I can't do that. Oh, you better learn what you should learn now so you won't be under pressure. Learn what you need to learn now. His commandments are not grievous. Learn it now. So you will have power with God. So you will never be tempted or under pressure to get power from the devil. You know, God, the Holy Ghost just downloaded the whole thing to me just right there on the stage. You know, that's why in the scriptures, when you see this thing in Matthew 24, where it talks about the fact that, you know, in the end time, you know, we will be hated of all nations, and, you know, and they will persecute us, and they will kill us, you know. And then the next verses, this is what it says. It says, and many shall betray one another. It says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Next verse. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Why? The people whose iniquity is abounding, who are no longer in contact with God as they should, are now under pressure and now look for succor from evil spirits. Learn it now. I speak by the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to say the other thing, you know. It's because there's an experience somebody had, and he told me about it, and I was shocked. Don't become like Saul. I'm just going to end it like that. Never forget. People forget this fact. Saul was called by God, not the devil. Well, number one. Number two, Saul was anointed by God and not the devil. That's why you need to take heed to yourself. Learn to do His commandments the way God wants them. Another message for another day. Let me move on. Am I helping anybody here? Okay, let's get back to Deuteronomy. My goodness, my iPad has lost power. Somebody give me, mommy, send me your own, your iPad. That's why we must have real Bibles. Who has a real Bible there? All this electronic Bible, where the power go? Pastor G, can you give me a real Bible there? And I normally come to church with my real Bible, but it's inside my office upstairs. You know, we're so used to all this electronic. Don't tell me you didn't read your Bible because the light went. God will not take that as an excuse. Okay. Anyway, all right. Deuteronomy chapter. Look at verse 14. No! 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 You don't have to say no. You don't have to go across the sea. You don't have to go to the market in the middle of the night. You don't have to go to the forest and look for crocodile. If you badger, honestly. No! The word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. Go back to King James. But the word, this word I want you to obey, this commandment is very nigh unto you. In thy mouth, everybody say in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. You see a progression here. Everybody say mouth, heart, do. It's spiritual technology. Watch this. Mouth releases the power to do. Heart directs it, and then leg does it. I'm going to say it again. Mouth. See, the mouth is the launching pad for spiritual power. How did God make the heavens and the earth? Mouth. Let there be. So instead of let there be, visa. Do you understand? And let there be car. And let there be house. And let there be contract, which is okay. They're all okay. But the one I'm giving you now is the better one. Let there be love. And let there be patience. And let there be kindness. And let there be long suffering. And let there be gentleness. So instead of using my faith to get things, I now use my faith to do the word of God. Same faith. And when I now do the word of God, then every other thing I wanted would now come. God is a good God. Give him another clap offering. Hallelujah. The word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth, number one, and in thy heart, number two, and thou mayest do it, number three. It is sequential. You can't break that sequence. Because if you don't say it, you don't release the power to do it. And that's where people fail. You find people want to do number three without doing number one and number two. Then they find the commandment grievous. Anytime you try and do number three without doing number one and number two, you're going to find the commandment grievous. You know why? It will no longer be by grace. It will no longer be by mercy. Because the mouth is the avenue through which the grace, which is life,
and the mercy, which is life and power, that's the avenue through which is released. So when you keep the mouth shut, and you say, I'm going to be slow to speak, swift to hear and slow to wrath, you know, and then I'm a chest you can't carry. You know, remember in the olden days, you know, when we first got born again, this is exactly what people were trying to do. They were trying to do the word of God by the flesh. You wear this kind of trouser, you don't do this, you don't wear perfume, you don't do this. You know, back in those churches in those days, the girls would sit here. All the women would sit here. The men would sit here so that they won't lust. Silly people. Lust is a spiritual force. It will cross the chairs. How daft. How daft. You know, some people still do that. They think is, you know, you wear this, you wear that, you don't show this, you don't show the hand and all of that. It's in the heart. The one that you don't see that you imagine, Inko. You better clean your heart. Show ye washa. This is what we're talking about. Where we cannot, you cannot keep spiritual laws by physical action alone. They have to be preceded by spiritual power. That's how Enoch did it. That's how Joseph did it. That's how Abraham did it. That's how Moses did it. Hallelujah. That's how Daniel, a man greatly beloved, in the middle of Babylon, full of the devil, from top to bottom. He says, and Daniel purposed where? In his heart. So I don't care where you are. I don't care how corrupt they are in your office. When you step in there, you sanctify the place. Hallelujah. For every place the sole of thy feet shall tread upon, I have given thee, including your office. They won't understand what is happening. Because when you get there in the morning, you first thing you blast. All the devils in the place come bound. Hallelujah. Mouth. Heart. And then you do. And interestingly, when you become a tree, then all the fowls of the air will come and rest under. Even those who don't know how to do will come under your shelter. And your covering, then everything in your office will start going right. And they won't understand why. Because you've taken spiritual control. Am I talking to anybody here? The word, am I helping anybody here? Is very nigh unto thee, in thy and in thy, that thou mayest do it. And so, that's the principle. Now, Moses does something interesting here. You know, this is the, interestingly, this is the last book of the Torah. The Torah is, that's the Hebrew word for teachings, is Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, you know, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. So, God is wise. As he was, this chapter 30, Deuteronomy, I think the last verse, chapter is chapter 34, 35, something like that. You know, as he was closing the Torah, he gave him the key. He gave him the code. Next verse. I'm going to jump some verses, you know, so just go with me. Go to verse 15. Glory be to God. See! Old Testament. Old Testament. Jesus hadn't died. But God, the same thing we read in 1 John chapter 3, believe on the name of the Son Jesus Christ that you might have life. God put the same thing here. See! See! Lajuel. That's what it means. See! I have set before you this day life and death. Good. Death and evil. So the principle of life goes straight back. Nothing has changed.
The only difference now is that we can do it far more efficiently because we have the blood of Jesus and we're born again. So if Enoch walked with God, you should walk with God times 100. If Joseph walked with God, you should walk with God times 1,000. I'm telling you, God expects a higher level of righteousness in terms of right doing from us than those Old Testament saints who are living in under difficult conditions. If they did it, you are a better testament established on better promises. Their promises were good, but ours are better. That's the promise in the Old Testament. See, I've said before you life and death, but New Testament one is better. In Jesus' name, we have life. Better. Hallelujah. They had no blood of Jesus. We now have the blood to cleanse me from sin. Father, I confess our sins to clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, I have life. It's better than I have said before you life and death. That was good. It worked. But this is better. Jump to verse 19 and 20. Then just two more verses and we're done. So, I call. See, God gave them the secret of heaven. So God said, I'm going to paraphrase this in a simple way. My hands are clean. I've told you how I do things, so you can have the same power I have to do what you need to do. So I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Turn to neighbor and say, today will not be recorded against you. It will be recorded for you. In Jesus' name! This message today will not be recorded against you by the mercy and the grace of God, because you're going to do it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Talking to the people of Israel. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. God is a... Everybody give God another clap offering. This God is a good God. I got another text. What he did for them here, he didn't do it in the Garden of Eden. He set it before them, but he didn't tell him choose. You know, in the Garden of Eden, he put the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He set it before him, but he didn't say choose life. So Adam made a mistake. He said, you don't make a mistake now. Now you choose life. Adam didn't know. One tree of life, tree of... He knew, but he wasn't... He didn't grasp it quickly. So God said, this time, I have set before you. I've made it clear. Life and death. Good and evil. Now he says, don't make the mistake of Adam. Choose life. Watch this. I love this. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed shall live. Once you choose life, it affects your generations. You know what the children of Israel are enjoying today is because of their fathers. I'm going to take that one step further. What America and England are enjoying today is because of their fathers. John Wesley chose life. So generations later, they're just enjoying life. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody here? They chose life. Charles Finney chose life. And generations of Americans afterwards, are they enjoying the ripples of life? So you choose life. And it's secure for your children and your grandchildren. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It will start influence. They won't even know. It will be influenced. You influencing them supernaturally from the air. They will start getting. They will just have it with time. You will just see the influence of the Spirit of God working upon them. Therefore, choose life.
that thou and thy seed may live. Two scriptures. I want to now zero these commandments to two commandments I want us to keep. Using this principle, what God wants us to do now. He gave us in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 to 13 and then 17 to 18. I'm not going to read everything because of time. He says, put on the whole armor of God. I've taught us this recently. All those fruit of the Spirit. God is love. So you put on the whole armor of love. It's not far. It's not in heaven. Put it in your mouth. Every day. I have love, joy, peace, feel. We pray today. You know. Then after you put on the whole armor of God, you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You take the Word of God. You use it to draw life. You fill your heart. Use, in Jesus' name I have life. Interestingly, Pastor G, the Bible says, whose name is the Word of God? Revelation chapter 19, verse 13. He calls the name of Jesus the Word of God. That's what he's talking about. Believe on his name that you might have life through his name. So in Jesus' name I have life. I confess our sins to clean with the blood. In Jesus' name I have life. Then you're not praying the Spirit. Then Bible says do that constantly. When you get up, when you lie down, you know, when you sleep, you know, when you're walking by the way, when you're sitting down by the way, once every 6 hours, you start with that. Then as often as God puts you into remembrance at every opportunity, as you keep that word in your mouth and you keep it inside your heart, mercy, grace will be given unto you so that whatever task, whatever temptation, whatever difficulty comes your way, the mercy and the grace to overcome it will be there. As you practice these things and they become a habit, you will find this by experience. I speak by experience. You know, it's not as if I'm perfect, but God has had mercy on me and he's helping me. And I can tell you from experience, the yoke is easy. The burden is light. It's not difficult. What makes it seems to be difficult is because our flesh, the sin nature in the flesh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, the sin nature in the flesh doesn't want to do the word of God. It's always trying to, that's why Jesus said the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. But if you will use the life of God to crucify that flesh, that sin nature, it becomes easy. You won't find it difficult. God is a good God. His word is true. And as you do this, I got to close with this. The people who carried the ark. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13. See, David made a mistake at first. They tried to do it with the Philistines method. Then he went to read the Bible and discovered that the ark should be placed upon the shoulders of the priests. The scripture tells us that this is where we get, it's a type. They go six spaces, which is, you know, typifying 6 hours. Every 6 hours, they sacrifice. Sin offering, peace offering, burnt offering. Thanksgiving offering. It's all one thing. If I confess our sins, in Jesus' name I have life, you pray in tongues, it's all together. You know, they sacrifice. You know what's going to happen? As you continue to do this, you're going to carry the glory. You will take the glory to Jerusalem. Let us pray. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And as you do it, you will carry the power of God. And you won't have to go and find any crocodile to do it. You will heal the sick. You will raise the dead. You will cleanse the leper. Hallelujah. You will carry the glory of God.
Love divine, all loves excelling.
Joy of heaven.
Joy of heaven to
earth.
Come down.
Filling us.
Fixing
us, rather.
Thy humble dwelling.
All thy faithful mercies.
Thy faithful mercies.
Jesus.
Jesus, thou
all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art.
Visit us
with thy salvation, enter every trend.
By the Holy Spirit, given to Charles Wesley over 200 years ago, we are now the generation that is actually going to experience and fulfill it. I want you to sing it with faith, it's part of what's in your mouth, with understanding from your heart. Let's start again from verse 1. Love divine, all loves excelling.
Love divine.
Joy of heaven,
joy of heaven,
to earth come down,
come down.
Fix in us thy humble dwelling.
Fix in us,
hallelujah,
thy humble dwelling.
All thy faithful mercies,
all thy
humility,
faithful
mercy,
mercies, Christ.
Jesus, hallelujah,
Jesus, thou art
all compassion.
Praise
thee.
Praise
not an accident you were born at this time in history. You're born into the generation that will close the age. The generation that saw the budding of the fig tree of Israel in 1948. By 1948, two world wars had already taken place. We had already entered verse 9. Wars, rumors of wars. And Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, he said, this generation will not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Raise that hand. It is your destiny now to walk in the fullness of the glory of God. And his commandments are not grievous. It's not too difficult. No, it's a lie of the devil. Raise that hand. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this word. Thank you that truly your commandments are not grievous. It is not too difficult. It is not beyond the sea. It is not in heaven, but it is nigh me. In my mouth, in my heart, that thou mayest do it, that I may do it. Oh God, oh God, oh God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me to be faithful, to keep the word in my mouth and in my heart all day long, to pray in the spirit with all kinds of prayer always. Your word says praying always. You haven't told me to do what's hard. You haven't told me what to do that's impossible. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me to keep this word in my mouth and keep it in my heart. To cling with the blood, to low with the word, to fire with the spirit all day long, so that mercy and grace will be ministered unto me to overcome every temptation, every challenge, every problem that may come my way. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, I believe your word. I stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief. Your word says your commandments are not grievous. I believe it. I believe it. And I find it so in my life now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Mommy, join hands with somebody. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn over and say, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed, and his commandments are not grievous for you. The promise is sure to you because you're of the seed of Abraham. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. Glory to God.